Hello and welcome to Speaking Sustainability Podcast. I'm Ken Markowitz, broadcasting live from Glasgow, Scotland, site of COP26, the 26th Convention of the Parties to the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. Over the past week, delegates from over 190 countries have descended on Glasgow along with business leaders from the broadest of sectors, from the most carbon intense to the innovators selling carbon-negative solutions, and representatives from civil society around the world. They've all converged on the banks of the Clyde River in Glasgow, which was settled almost 1,000 years ago, and fittingly means Green Glen. Well, the Green Glen is packed. Non-stop action, excitement, and a mostly get-things-done attitude. From the climate globetrotters strewn across the countryside in castles and the most exclusive clubs at their posh events in town, to the doomsday marchers with the constant beat of their drums and cries to rally the global leaders to wake up and act with greater urgency, I remain hopeful that we are on a clearer path towards climate action. Being here in Glasgow now for almost a week, this COP really feels different than others I've attended. And that extends to the whole vibe in Glasgow, where delegates remain energetic and optimistic. I recall being in Copenhagen in 2009, which was a really very soggy and gray couple of weeks too, but that COP15 was really muddled with administrative mishaps and substantive opportunities lost. The lines backed up seemingly all the way to Sweden as thousands of delegates were forced to stay outside in the cold, harsh weather while pessimism spread as the negotiators failed to respond to the urgent need for action to address the climate crisis. The 2 weeks there dragged on feeling like they were spiraling out of control. But here in Glasgow, the UK government hosts and the people of this city are doing an awesome job under the most challenging of times in this COVID day and age. They're managing the participants' experience and ensuring the necessary health precautions are all in place. Delegates are provided with a supply of do-it-yourself lateral flow test kits and a website to register the results daily. The lines have been moving, the process efficient, and the hosts most welcoming. But if you want to enter the big show, also known as the Blue Zone on the Scottish Events campus, first register that negative lateral flow and flash the confirmation to the officer at the gates in yellow dayglow. And while COP21 in Paris too was buzzing with energy, the mood there was nervous and intense. The government negotiators worked around the clock for the entire 2 weeks, focused on the minutest of details of the text of the Paris Agreement. This truly was a government-driven event. Business was present, but its impact on the outcomes seemed secondary. In Glasgow, however, it feels like business is working in concert with government and the environmental groups, despite all the protests you see on TV, and that private action has taken on life of its own, irrespective of the technical outcomes. Here at COP26, in the Blue Zone, delegates are discussing how to get things done, not what needs to be done. The world has moved forward, despite a lack of finalized set of clear rules out of the UNFCCC process on such big issues as Article 6 and the market and non-market mechanisms. Despite all that, for the first time, it truly feels as if the private sector is driving action and daring governments to come on board and make all these ambitions worked in harmony, not in conflict. Necessary discernible actions are much clearer as hard questions are being answered. Questions such as how to reduce methane, a potent short-lived climate pollutant in the immediate term between now and 2030, so we can buy the planet a little more time to make the more challenging emission reduction cuts in the future. How do we implement concrete actions to prevent against the loss of nature and enhance the resilience of the planet's most vulnerable communities? How can market mechanisms complement, not replace, concrete actions to reduce emissions at the source through innovation and efficiency? And critical to making all of this happen, who will deliver all the money necessary to achieve these wonderful actions and ambitions? The answers appear embedded in new pledges and commitments. COP26 in the Green Glen will come to be known as the Pledge and Commitment COP. Pledges of money and commitments to act. Prominent examples of such pledges include the Global Forest Finance Pledge, the Global Methane Pledge, and the Global Finance Alliance for Net Zero. These pledges complement commitments to reduce greenhouse gases from key sources such as coal and agriculture, as well as commitments to enhance carbon removals, build resistance to the ever-increasing impacts that climate change is wreaking on nature and society. However, assuring these pledges and commitments are met swiftly, efficiently, and with integrity requires transparency, accountability, and clear milestones. Let's take, for example, nature. It's estimated that 1/4 of the world's greenhouse gas emissions come from agriculture, forestry, and other land use. To dramatically reduce emissions associated with these activities, the global community must transform the way it grows and consumes food in order to tackle climate change. So at Nature and Land Use Day at COP26, 45 governments pledged urgent action and investment to protect nature and shift to more sustainable ways of farming. This includes leveraging $4 billion of new public sector investment into the agriculture innovation, including the deployment of climate-resilient crops and regenerative solutions to improve soil health. These governments also agreed to an action agenda of policy reforms that can be enacted back home so farmers can more easily and affordably implement sustainable farming practices. Perhaps the greatest potential for emission reductions across the globe lies in the Global Methane Pledge, which saw over 100 countries commit to a collective goal of reducing global methane emissions by at least 30% from 2020 levels by 2030. In addition, they agreed to improve best practices for inventory methodologies from existing high emission sources. As a U.S. government official noted, given the outsized importance of methane on its impact on global warming, stated, this could be the single best strategy to defeat the climate crisis that we have in the near term. As a final example of new pledge, 450 banks and other large financial institutions from around the world holding assets totaling more than $130 trillion committed to a 2050 net zero emissions target. This pledge, under the banner of the Glasgow Financial Alliance for Net Zero, notably marks the first time many of the world's largest financial institutions, including insurers and financial regulators, have signed on to a coordinated pledge that will incorporate carbon emissions into their most fundamental decisions. The Alliance estimates that it can deliver $100 trillion of finance needed for net zero over the next 3 decades. But now comes the hard work. How do we make it all happen? How do we get those that made pledges and commitments work? How do we assure accountability in a transparent manner? In a best case scenario, this will involve setting and reporting progress against milestones. So please tune in next time as I will build on these 3 ideas, transparency, accountability, and milestones, in the next episode of Speaking Sustainability's COP26 podcast series. For now, I'm Ken Markowitz signing off from Glasgow for Speaking Sustainability, which features timely analysis on viewpoints on the climate change and ESG laws and policies that are driving our clean energy future. Thank you for tuning in.